Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Good evening around the world. What a beautiful night we have. The good Lord has given us some special blessings, you know, and we were all part of, hopefully all part of the supernatural miracle that happened on Easter Sunday during Mass. Supernatural that the good Lord, after the consecration, for us, became the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in the Eucharist. And that we, out of love for us, have an opportunity to receive him into our lives. If we repent in good contrition, the good Lord takes care of us in our walk to eternity. And we have another ongoing from week before this program tonight. But can really show how even the apostles who saw firsthand the Eucharistic miracles that were happening during their time and how they needed it. And God knew they needed it because we're weak. We are weak and frail, those listening tonight. And the good Lord can give us the strength where we can do all things through him who strengthens us. And he loves us so much to give us that opportunity. And once we have been touched where we know it, and he takes the scales off our eyes so we can see the miracles that are happening around us every day. And then to understand the graces that we receive when we make a good communion, when we take the Eucharist with a pure heart. And that's what we would wish for you as part of the program tonight, that you were able to have that happen for you. And I want to thank Donald for making it possible that we can bring this out to the world. And Donald, what are your thoughts to start tonight?
Well, this is so important because the Eucharist is central in our Catholic faith. It is truly Jesus' body, blood, and soul, and divinity. And we want people to be able to go to Mass and receive him in the state of grace. So we encourage confession and to live out the gospel life and to be humble before the Lord. And so our Lord, we encourage people to grow in their holy Catholic faith. And we got Doc from Tennessee. Doc, how you doing? And I hope you had a great Easter. And
I really did. Lynn. I did. I'm back in Tennessee. I'm doing okay. I'm out in the woods, so I may lose reception, but I just have to move to a different spot to get it, so I'll call back if I lose y'all.
Okay.
But yeah, I look at how blessed we are in this country. We truly are. And I mean, the poorest people in our country are rich by comparison to some of the places in the world. And I've been in those places, and I have been the poorest people in this country, so I can say that from experience. But we are blessed. Need to thank God for that.
Amen. 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 For sure.
And a happy Easter, belated Easter to everybody.
And you, almost my brother. You know, it's the first time in 53 years that I didn't have one of my children with me on Easter. And not my children, my children, you know. And I was thinking about my grandchildren for a moment, but I didn't. But the good Lord gave me a blessing during the Divine Mercy. We've been doing Divine Mercy every day. And I did not have my children there. And a perfect timing for the fourth day, what we did on the fourth day, it says, today bring to me those who do not believe in God and those who do not yet know me. And we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of people that don't know God, don't know the good Lord, you know, and thank God we have these in our smallness as people that we have a way to reach out to a lot of people that may not otherwise have an opportunity to know him. That's what we try to bring with this program so people have a greater understanding of who Christ is. But the good Lord, during the 3 o'clock in the morning, we did the Divine Mercy today. That a young man, he was the youngest of and his mother, who had been with me the first couple of days of the, and she was with me again today, but yesterday she had her grandchildren and children and grandchildren at her home. But one of her sons, because of his mother and what and his upbringing, broke away from a beautiful meal, Sunday meal, on Easter, to come over to do the Divine Rosary and Divine Mercy over to chapel at church, and just to see how much it blessed that young man was made it a beautiful, beautiful happening for me on Easter. You know, this young man, I was able to, even as he brought his great-grandmother's rosary to be able to touch the cross and for it to become a third-class relic, and then ask for rosaries. He got rosaries for each of his siblings from the ones that I brought, so he could give them one that was touched to the true cross, and also the Holy Sepulchre where Jesus was buried, you know. So I was even able to ask him, I said, have you ever discerned? He found out he was 42 years old. And I asked him, I said, have you ever discerned, he was single, I said, have you ever discerned the priesthood? And he said, no. I said, you know, that's very common in today's culture in the United States. It used to be that in the world, that was one of the things that young people may look at doing at some point to discern, but not too many discern nowadays. And I said, why don't you pray about it, see if you can't at least discern, see if that's what God wants you to do. You would make a beautiful young warrior priest to do bring people to the good Lord. And he just smiled and said, have you ever discerned that? And he said, no. I said, well, it's not too common today where a lot of people do that, but it used to be something a lot more common. So pray about it. And I said, if you do, I will pray and support you. And also, I would like you to call me if in the moment in time, if at the point you would be consecrated, call me and I'll put aside everything I'm doing and come to your consecration.
Greg?
And so, Leif didn't say no at this point. So his name, his name is Ethan, so pray for him. And just neat that even someone would be open enough to listening and maybe taking that opportunity. And yes, go ahead, Don.
I just got a message. I got a message from Pakistan. May God use you more and more in his glory, referring to our show here. And he said, blessed are those who remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and live according to his will. And this is coming from Pakistan. And so thank you for that wonderful message and all those and everyone who's listening to Deeper Truth. And what you were just saying about Easter, I had to miss Easter this year, which is the first time I've missed the Easter morning Mass in 60 years because I was assaulted by our Catholic priest after the Good Friday service. I was assaulted, and I was getting some work done so because of the assault. So, but I.
He actually attacked you?
Yes.
Let's pray for that priest for sure. Pray for him. You know, Satan. One thing we got to know is that Satan is very aggressive toward individuals and families in the world right now. And think about, you know, even as we have an opportunity to be able to go to Mass normally without any hindrance at all. And someone from some of these companies in the Middle East and even probably in Pakistan have a little more concern about attending Mass, or, you know, that there would be a safe outcome of, in their attending Mass. And so the, all the more they need the glorified Jesus to protect young ones out there in the field, you know, because Satan is very aggressive right now, wanting to distract and cause people to fall away from the good news. So
Greg, this happened yesterday while I was doing my 10-mile flag detail, which you know I do, and I had an individual came up towards me giving me two fingers. You know what I'm talking about, right? Can you imagine what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The well, it's more than it's what he said to me that caused me to wonder than just being, because, you know, the finger itself. What he said is he was going to throw the finger at me and hit me with his finger just like the priest did last night. And that just blew me away. I mean, that is like, you know, I just, that blew my mind. I mean, I was left wondering. I went ahead and just continued on my flag detail. And I had never seen this guy before, and I had never seen him after. I don't know who he was, but he came in and cut towards me with his middle fingers, both of them, and said that he was going to throw his middle fingers at me like the Catholic priest did last night, referring to that on the Easter Vigil evening. And I was like, wow. So what could you say? There wasn't a whole lot I could say about it. After, I mean, I just blew me away, you know?
Well, all the better to take the opportunity, especially when someone's trying to take the glory of God away from him in a program that we're trying to bring glory to the good Lord. And every breath that we, pray for the souls of priests and religious and immerse them in the unfathomable mercy of God, who loves them so much, just as he loves each of us, that he wants them to come to him. And, you know, can you imagine? Because if for a moment in time when you have to suffer something like that, it's almost like the good Lord's saying that, you know, I trust you enough that you can be a victim soul sometimes for me. And it could be the reason, because of how you offer the prayers up, not for yourself, but for others. And when you do that, it's a very powerful prayer to bring people and their souls to the good Lord. And it does not mean that you do not stand up to injustice, and that we for sure are called to expose evil. And I think Donald, one time you told me it's in Ephesians, eighth chapter of Ephesians.
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Yes.
Okay, and so that's what you're doing by standing up. You're exposing the unfruitful works of darkness, and we to hear that it was coming from someone that we would hope would, not be able to let Satan use them to show himself, but to use them in a way that can be glorifying God, you know, because of how you stand and can say with, you know, certainty, because your heart, I know your heart, Donald, and I know that your first response would not be to attack, but to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And
yes.
I think that's what is pleasing to the good Lord, that we have that strength through the Holy Spirit, not through our weakness and our frailness as people, because our first reaction would be if someone takes a swing at us, to take a swing back at them, you know, which is not taken away from standing up for righteousness, because the truth itself what's it say, that it's like a lion, it'll take care of itself when you speak the truth. You know, and so when you
yes.
have those elements of those that basically, what have they done? They're lying. It's a fight for me.
Well,
it's a distraction.
Since the Easter Vigil, I've done a number of shows yesterday in reference to the FBI's conspiracy. In fact, you reminded me about the FBI's conspiracy sending people into parishes to pose as Catholics to cause these kinds of dissensions. I have been falsely accused of stalking children, and that's what really started it. This happened on Holy Thursday night, and I was being accused of that, and I totally blew up against that, of course. Greg, you know me, and you know that I would die before I allowed anything evil to happen to a child. You know what I'm saying, right? You know where I'm coming from, right?
I do. Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the tactics of the enemy, and the enemy can be, I mean, it's very vast because it's a wrong attack. One of their tactics is to blame you for the very things they're doing. Now,
yeah,
you know, I mean, just in the past, just in this past, this has been a Easter to remember. I mean, a friend of mine, somebody kicked in his door and attacked him just the other day. And, you know, I mean, another friend of mine, out in the sticks, they went in and stole his generator. And it's like, evil is out there, and it's abundant. But for every evil person, I have to think there are 100 good people. But here's the thing. All because we're good doesn't mean that we're timid. Doesn't mean we're timid. You know, I prefer to be meek, and I think that's what people are forgetting, what meek stands for. Meek stands for stand at the ready with your sword sheathed. It doesn't mean that you're going to be walked on. It doesn't mean that... You know, we need righteous masculinity back in our country. We need men to stand up and say, no, that ain't right, you know, and to stand our ground. You know, you don't have to, you know, I mean, I know we pray for them, and the, you know, they do not know what they're doing. You forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. But you know something? And it's not our place to judge them. You know, I'm not saying judge them, but don't. I mean, call evil for evil. If you see evil, call it out. You know,
amen.
We can't just stand idly by and let it go to heck.
No,
you know, Doc.
When you do that, you're not only doing something that can protect someone else, but also you're doing something that can protect the soul of the person that's doing it. It may be so,
right.
So, brings them back to the good Lord. You know, we have some beautiful promises from the Lord himself to those devoted to his holy face. You know, and
yes,
I just always remember that very first one. He will grant them contrition so perfect when they look upon devoted to his holy face. When they look upon his holy face, they can. He can grant them contrition so perfect that their very sins shall be changed in my sight into jewels of precious gold. And none of these...
But, Doc...
I love
it. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Greg, but I just had to say this because Doc gave me a call not long after on Thursday night about that he just called me to tell me that he had just heard about what had happened, about the priest blowing up on me like that, the first night, and that just
I heard about that, and
I put that out in the next day on a show, and you know it's like it's this all this is spreading. I mean, I got a call from Asia last night and today. from Asia. Can you believe that?
Damn it, boy. Well, the devil ain't hiding no more. You know? He's going to walk free. He walks freely among us, and he's accepted by society, and that's where we need to put an end to that. Tolerance is not a Christian value.
Well, to be assaulted by a Catholic in his priestly garments, that just blows my mind.
Well,
and all I did was I approached him to wish him a happy Easter, and then all hell broke loose.
Well, that's just sad. But, you know, all of this has to happen. I mean, I've read the Apocalypse. For those of you who don't read the Dewey Range Revelations. And it says in that book that in the end, the devil, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but in the end, the devil will walk among us and be accepted, be adored. And, you know, righteousness and righteous masculinity and faith and all that stuff will pretty much be outlawed. There'll be a church within the church, and, you know, they don't hide it anymore. So we're there. Now, the good news is eventually this will pass, and you know what happens in the end, right? If you read the book, you know what happens in the end. We win. So, you know, if this is that time, it is that time.
One statement there that I've always tried to, whenever it comes up, I always try to correct people. And if you read the book, he wins. Not
yeah.
We win. He wins, and we need to be on his side because he's going to be the one that wins for sure.
Well,
and
we're
I know
the body of Christ. Well, that's what I meant. We're the body of Christ, and Christ wins, so we win. We win by proxy, you know.
Amen to that. Well, Donald, do you have a program in front of you?
Yes, I'll tell you. I think this. Did you know St. Catherine of Siena received Holy Communion from our Lord himself? And she also received Holy Communion from angels, experienced deep ecstasies after receiving the Eucharist, and could distinguish a consecrated host from a non-consecrated host. Now, that is, you know, and St. Peter Regalado, he accomplished many miracles that God favored him with, and on the day of the Annunciation in 1453, Peter was transported by the angels from one monastery to another monastery. Now, could you imagine that? I mean, that's... I just love this. And St. Catherine... St. Catherine, she felt, in reference to Holy Communion, she felt and tasted the sweetest, purest flesh of the Immaculate Lamb, Christ Jesus. She also, she said, sometimes the devil inspires souls with an inordinate zeal for a certain virtue or some special pious exercise so that we will be motivated by their passion to practice it more and more. This temptation is more to pride rather than virtue. And so it's just very interesting when you look at some of what they, here's something I thought was interesting. The miracle necessary for sainthood for Saint Oscar Romero was provided by a Salvadorian man whose wife had slipped into a coma after giving birth, and he prayed to Saint Romeo, and his wife survived. Throughout his time as Archbishop, he became known for advocating for the poor and oppressed, and he's the patron saint of persecuted Christians. And is an authentic Catholic martyr who made the holy sacrifice of the Mass his life by celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He was murdered at the altar by those who, and that's just, I mean, it's an odyssey that I've been dealing with, and dealing with these one more, because I know but this is interesting. When it was close to the high noon hour, the father guardian went to the kitchen to see what Brother Salvatore had prepared in the kitchen. But he found the kitchen locked. And after looking for Salvatore for a considerable time, he finally found him. Guess where he was at? Kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament, deeply absorbed in prayer. And Saint Salvatore had been there since early morning. So he'd been all morning there. Instead of being in the kitchen doing what he was supposed to be doing, he was in doing Eucharistic adoration all morning long without being aware of it. And the superior reproved him severely. And Salvatore acknowledged his guilt amid many tears, begging for a severe penance. And how astonished, however, were both men when they arrived at the kitchen and found all the food ready to be served, the angels had substituted for Salvatore. Can you? I mean, that is just so awesome. I love it. The angels, so that he could do Eucharistic adoration. I just love
it. That definitely tasted good too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what I call true angel food.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Ooh. Oh man.
Okay, now Greg. Getting back to this story, where did you get to? Because I'm right here now.
Start out where we are, right there.
Okay, by the picture of Jesus.
Yep.
Okay, Jesus therefore performed astounding wonders related in the Gospels, always by his divine who he is, but through his human nature as man, we are also told that on occasion Jesus could not perform miracles in certain places. Why not? Because of people's lack of faith. The two words humanity and faith are crucial to an understanding to the working of miracles. And at this point, we turn to the real presence and we ask ourselves, what is this real presence? In one declarative sentence, it is Jesus Christ, true God, but with emphasis also, true man. It is the same identical Jesus who changed water into wine at Cana in Galilee, the same who invited Peter to come to him walking on the water. The real presence is the real Jesus with real flesh and real blood, and with the same hands and feet and open side that he told the doubting Thomas to touch and believe. And once this fact dawns on a person, it is not dawned on everyone who calls himself a Catholic, how well I know he. But once this fact dawns on our minds that Christ performed his miracles as God, but through his human nature as man, then the inevitable happens. That person's faith is rewarded by the experience of miracles. Now, I'm not exaggerating. I am not indulging in hyperbole. We all need miracles in our lives. Let's be sure we know what we are saying. During his public ministry, the Savior assured his followers they would continue working miracles in their favor. Even more, he promised that the miracles they would perform would be greater than those which his contemporaries witnessed during his visible stay in Palestine. However, let's have no misunderstanding. Christ, the Almighty Son of God, who became man, worked miracles during his visible stay on earth only in favor of those who believed. Those who believed that the man they called Jesus was no one less than Almighty God. We should therefore expect the same Jesus to continue working miracles. But I repeat, only for those who believe that the same Jesus is still on earth, but now demanding our faith twice over. He wants us to believe that he is in the Holy Eucharist with the fullness of his humanity, and also to believe that his human nature is united with the second person of the Holy Trinity. And Christ's contemporaries during his visible stay on earth had only to believe that the man that they saw with bodily eyes was the incarnate God. We, however, are to believe that what looks like bread and tastes like wine is the Son of God who became the Son of Mary. Faith, I repeat, is the condition for Christ performing miracles. Is it any wonder that our faith is the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist should be rewarded by miraculous phenomena? But what an important adversary. But you must believe. We must believe. That is the key. That is awesome there, Greg. That is very awesome. What do you think?
Oh, it's absolutely very awesome. I've just got to, I wish, you know, just as a minimum, and because I'm still on the front end of all that the good Lord has shown me, the miraculous things that have happened that I know are no accident, that God allowed me to be able to see and be able to go get past just hearing about something, but to seeing and believing that God is present and he loves us so dearly that he has given us Eucharistic miracles and other miracles that happen all the time around us. But most of the time, the overwhelming majority of people, even in the Catholic Church, many of them are blind because of the scales over their eyes and can't see the miraculous things that the good Lord has offered
to us.
But he wants it for each one of us.
In 1925, Pope Pius XI declared that Rose of Rome was the patron saint of automobile drivers because of a legend that an angel used to light the road before her with a lantern, keeping her safe from hazards. Can you imagine that? I mean, think about that. That's amazing. And so she is the patron of automobile drivers. And so when I looked at this, I thought, man, I bet you Greg's got a devotion to her because he's in the car so much all over Missouri. I love that. Can you imagine that? Angels paving the way or lighting the way with a lantern so that, to keep you safe from upcoming hazards. Wow. I mean, that's amazing. There's just so much of this.
Well, when we moved that boat for my neighbor, I said a prayer before we left, and branches were lifted by the way that should have took out the top of that boat. Every time we come up on one, I'd see it, and it would just raise up, you know. And it couldn't have been the updraft because a dump truck was pulling it, and the draft behind the truck would have pulled things down, not pushed them up. So there was no reason for air to be blowing those branches up. So... It is one of the most powerful tools in our arsenal. Y'all remember the Battle of Lepanto, right?
Yes.
It was a naval battle years ago. It was a naval battle. And they were outnumbered, 10-1 or something like that? And the people got together, and their Navy was victorious against this overwhelming. They should have just been moved over, but they weren't. So prayer is essential. It's prayer cover for our angels, our guardian angels, our archangels. You know, we need to be prayed all.
Apparently, I just got a request. There's a huge tornado situation, and they're begging the Lord and His Mother to protect the people in the Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia and South Carolina and Tennessee and Kentucky and Virginia, West Virginia, and Ohio. So apparently there's a huge system there, and there's a lot of danger. So they're says, I finally just finished posting prayer requests, and I wish this would be like the snow that doesn't come. The news out here said there has been hail the size of cantaloupes. Oh, man, could you imagine that? Hail the size of cantaloupes?
That would be too much.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. So that's a request that we pray for them.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, let me mention the third, the fifth day of our novena, Donald. The fifth day. That we will be doing tomorrow at 3:00. Today, bring to me the souls of those who have separated themselves from the church. You know, every time
yes.
I go to a conference or in any location, I always ask them for years now, how many of you have someone away from the church, family, friends? Every hand goes up in the church, including the priests. So we have to know that they're struggling with, even with their ones that good Lord has given them, you know, and He knows how to attack us when He attacks our families, for sure. But in that, when the good Lord asks for the souls who have separated themselves from the church, because look at how many, even in since they closed the doors of the church during the COVID crisis, many people didn't come back. And they're seeing how sad it
was. That was by design.
Yes, it was by design.
You know, and I hate to say this because I want them to come back. But, you know, if your faith is that weak, it comes down to catechism. A lot of people, especially Catholics, are poorly catechized. You know, open the catechism. I mean, I've asked several, when was the last time you read your catechism? RCIA. How long have you been a Catholic? 20 years? You know, I mean, I'm sorry. You don't read a book like that and get all the information in one shot. So open it up. Read it. You'd be amazed at what you find. You know, and it'll strengthen what you believe. Read the writings of the early church fathers. You can get them online. They're PDF. If you understood, if you just had an inkling of understanding of what God has given us in the church, the Catholic Church would be the strongest church on the planet. It really would. There'd be no argument, because there is no argument. You know, and you get weak men to come in and try and change it. God said, do it this way. Oh, I know better. No, you don't. You know, I'm sorry. You know, and like, you know, I was talking to a couple gentlemen today, and they were talking about their church that started in Cincinnati or Cleveland. I'm like, what church started here? I mean, it's a breakaway of a breakaway of a breakaway of a breakaway of a breakaway. Why don't you go back to where it started in the beginning and see what you're missing? You know, it's crazy. The problem with people leaving the church is they've been poorly catechized. And they have a lacking of supernatural faith. And that's sad. But, you know, heaven's not going to be crowded. That's what I'm sorry to hear.
When we do this novena to the face of mercy, the good Lord. Listen to what he says, and this is a conversation between Jesus and St. Faustina. So listen to those words as something to light us up tonight. Most merciful Jesus, goodness itself, you do not refuse light to those who seek it of you. So first of all, we notice because he first chose us and he does not refuse his light to us who sought him. Receive into the abode of your most compassionate heart the souls of those who separated themselves from your church. Draw them by your light into the unity of the church, and do not let them escape from the abode of your most compassionate heart, but bring into it about that they who come to glorify the generosity of your mercy. That's what we're trying to do, is bring the generosity of Christ's mercy. Eternal Father, turn your merciful gaze upon the souls of those who have separated themselves from your Son's church, who have squandered your blessings and misused your graces by obstinately persisting in their errors. Do not look upon their errors, but upon the love of your own Son and upon his bitter passion, which he underwent for their sake, since they too are enclosed in his most compassionate heart. Bring it about that they also may glorify your great mercy for endless ages. Amen. And that's why we're doing what we're doing, to bring about God's glory and not, Lord, give us your strength from the Holy Spirit. Guide our steps, because Satan wants us to distract from your light and your presence that you've given us. And by the grace of God, we say yes to that, Lord. And increase even more. Increase our faith, hope, love, and mercy for others. Give us an opportunity, Lord, in these days and times as we do this novena to your Sacred Heart, Lord, that more people can see your presence in our love and mercy to bring them closer to you. We have those gifts, guys, those gifts like the catechizing that you talked about, Doc, that if we've been blessed with that good catechesis, which we know has not happened to many, many people in the church, you know, and the sadness is that we know a lot of people that should be theologically sound know that, but yet and not trying to, sometimes distract themselves. They have a righteous heart. And the good Lord says in Scripture that those who speak righteousness, they will be filled. Is that what it says, Donald? They will be filled if they seek righteousness. I think that's one of the reasons we exist in this program, is to seek righteousness and for ourselves, but for those that we try to, in our own ways, bring them some catechesis that will bring them closer to the light that makes a difference. And there's a lot of people out there searching, and that's why sometimes you'll have calls from Pakistan and Asia and Africa and different places, because they haven't had the opportunity, and because you guys are here tonight and trying to bring that light to them, you know. And so that has to prioritize the words we speak, and it has to be the Holy Spirit taking our steps with us, because in our own self, if we don't die to ourselves, we are as weak as any man has been. We are frail, and we need God's help to have his strength, to be able to stand against the evil and that, like what you've had to stand with in your life, over the last couple of days, Donald, making that stand, not so much for you, but for others, and taking that opportunity to bring that word out to others that stand up and expose evil. And when we glorify the good Lord and seek his face, you don't think that Satan wants to hide in the deepest part of hell from those that are seeking the good Lord and trying to bring him into the lives of others. That's the power that he gives us, like you said, not only miracles, but in the way that we can bring people closer to the good Lord. It just irritates Satan all the pieces. You know, he can't stand to it, and he runs and hides. You know, so I'm very blessed to have you guys as brothers that want to bring that word out to others that want to stand up and be warriors for the good Lord. But a lot of times,
this is what Jesus said in reference to Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. And Jesus went into his house and said, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so we pray, this was something that we pray every day here on Deeper Truth. We pray for the prodigals. We thank the Lord for seeking the prodigals, that they might be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up to you the prodigals. Thank you for loving them even more than we do, for watching over them when we can't, and for working to draw them to yourself. So thank you, Greg, with what you were just saying about those who have fallen away from the faith, to bring them back. And that's what we pray here at Deeper Truth every day. That's part of our mission here.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I went on a road trip not long ago. And while I was up there at my destination, something was said to me, and I agreed with it, and it was sad. And, you know, we were talking religion and everything. One of them said they never met a Catholic like me that talks so openly about the faith and what it means, and talking about it as a matter of fact, like, you know, I wasn't, you know, high in the sky. It's like, this happened. This is why I do this and everything like that. And the sad thing about it is, he's right. Most Catholics don't. They think their religion is supposed to be private. Christ said himself, you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. You light it and put it up so everybody can see it. You know, like I said, if people knew, if they had an inkling of the understanding of what God has given us in the church, you couldn't fill the halls. Instead of churches closing, we'd be building new ones. It just baffles my mind. And the thing is, our understanding of God is pre-preschool by comparison of what God is. He's only let us know an inkling of what he is, because our brains can't absorb it. We can't comprehend it. And he knows that. So he gives us small portions of the beatific vision, small portions in the miracles, in the visionaries, in all the things that happen, the incorruptibles, the Eucharistic miracles, the other miracles that happen along with those, the bifurcation, all the things that have happened over the past 5,000 years. God has given us an awareness of his existence. But, you know, I've heard somebody said God's shown everything about himself to man. Are you kidding? We're not even close to ready to have that kind of comprehension, you know? And to think somebody can do it better has got to be the most arrogant thing that man can – that is the most arrogant thought that you can possibly have, that you can do it better than what God said do. You know?
What did Jesus himself say to the first pope that thought he could do it better at the Last Supper? What did he say to Peter? He said, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
You think as You think as man, not as God. And that's
right.
What we need to see is God will, and like you said, in a lifetime, there's no way we can know everything that God knows. It's just remarkably how much.
Mankind's collective knowledge of God is preschool by comparison of what God. I mean, the knowledge of God is every PhD you can think of, and we're still drooling in preschool on our understanding by comparison. And yet,
amen,
he's given us so much. You know, so, you know, I mean, I'm, like I said, if I wake up in purgatory, I'll be the happiest one there, because eventually I'm going to get to be with the beatific vision for all eternity. And then all the questions will be answered, you know. I heard somebody say, you know, why would God create a world with pain, suffering, and death? And the answer is he didn't. We rebelled. We brought that crap on ourselves.
For sure.
You know?
Well, Donald, I have a prayer for tonight whenever you're ready for that.
Oh, well, yeah, well, I guess we are at that. We're at that time. Can you? This is the fastest hour on radio, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Let's finish with this, and it can bring some thoughts to you as we get finished with it, too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Eternal God, whose mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.
Amen.
Give us all we need to come closer to you every day. Help us to raise you up in glory in every breath we take. Help us to honor your mother with every breath we take. And help us to defend your bride, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, with every breath we take. So many attacks on all fronts, Lord. Give us that strength. Give us your will. Give us your perfect will to bring that to others, and your mercy especially, Lord. We all need it ourselves, and we ask, Lord, for those that you put into our path, Lord. Give my brothers here with me tonight everything they need in spirit, mind, and body. Heal any parts that need to be healed. Make them strong as every servant spiritual warrior you've ever had to bring truth out into the world. The truth will take care of itself when we speak your truth, Lord. And give it to us in all the things that we walk in this world with other people, a family, friends, those you put into our path, Lord. Help us to bring their souls to you for eternity. Help us all be those,
amen,
like Doc and St. Catherine of Siena, who Donald mentioned, who was always saying, I'm getting tired of all the silence. We need to speak with 10,000 tongues from the rooftops, you know, the glory of God.
Amen to that.
And if we can, every small way, Lord, if we can strengthen us every day to even be stronger for you. And we love you, Lord. We glorify you. And thank you for bringing my brother Doc and my brother Donald into my life. God bless you all. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week. Everyone, God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, too. And we just got Mike that popped in. Maybe Mike can – Mike, have you been able to hear anything here? You just popped
in. I just got
on. Well, how you doing,
hey, Mike? Got on.
And Greg is here, too.
I'm glad to hear you, Mike. Glad to hear you're doing better.
Mike.
Hello?
Man, that's... Yeah,
hopefully Mike gets to be with us more and more again.
Yeah, really. He just popped on, too. Just popped on before we were. But tell you what, I'm going to end this. When I was stationed at Fort Polk, and it was Easter. It was Easter. In the absence of a Catholic priest, I had the Eucharist, in which I was able to put together a service, a communion service for the Catholics at Fort Polk there while we were out in the field. And the chaplain's assistant, he had played guitar, and I got with him. And as part of our communion service, we sang this song, and I will end tonight with this song. Because if any of you have a stone that's in your way, roll away the stone. And so, Greg, I'm ready to play the song. And Mike, it's great to see you. And Doc, go ahead. All right. Well, God bless you all.
God bless you, everybody.
All our plans are empty. They have been saying, where is their God now?
Roll away the stone, see the glory of God. Roll away the stone. Roll away the stone.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, Doc, and thank you, Mike. And thank you all out there who listen in, and God bless you all out there as we will close in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good night.